This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we are halfway home on a Friday. Mercifully, a Friday. Going to go into the weekend, fellas. Three more regular season games to go. When we sit down in here Monday, we still may not know who we play on Tuesday or where we play. Just so you know, Ben has just scared the crap out of all of us.
Sorry.
And he's got me rethinking everything that I had planned tonight with my kids, now realizing more than ever, no scary movie tonight, kids. We will be watching baseball, whether you like it or not. So thanks a lot for that, Uncle
Late
Ben.
Late September baseball, that is your scary movie.
That is my scary movie.
I think the irony is that as a baseball fan, I tend to like to cheer for chaos.
Oh, yeah.
It's very entertaining.
Unless it's
but
your
then when
team.
It's my team, it's like, stop the chaos.
Enough. Let's get this thing
I
locked in.
I feel like
in.
Jordan Schusterman's kind of a pro-chaos guy as well.
Oh, yeah.
It is time for our weekly Cespedes Family Barbecue chat, and there he is, Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports, in our segment that is brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Good Friday morning to you, Jordan. Are you a chaos fan?
You know, I'm rethinking my status as a chaos fan, considering the scenarios that are in play. As you know, every time me and Jake hops on here on a Friday morning, we just wrapped up recording our podcast. And it's not, I mean, listen, the most important thing is, of course, people are safe and everything with the hurricane and all those things.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? However, once you get past those very important, obvious caveats, this is not a pleasant thing to try and sort through these situations that are currently in play here and how it will maybe impact the discourse surrounding the start of this National League postseason. But I heard you just say you were worried about where the Padres are going to play. Well, come on, guys. Are we that concerned about that? Well, why? Because tiebreakers, you get swept because Arizona has so much to play for and you don't have anything to play for.
No, but if the Padres win one and the Mets keep winning, the Padres could still be passed by the Mets on that last day if they swept the doubleheader, which means they wouldn't know where they're going until the last minute. And they might have to stand by waiting to jet off to New York like late Monday to play on Tuesday.
You know, it's so funny you say that, though, because but I'm not sure that would be true, because then in that case, the Mets wouldn't have anything actually to play for.
No,
for
if the Braves keep winning, they could still be one game behind the Mets.
That's true.
Still have something to play for.
But to your point, we weren't even thinking about the Padres when we talked about this morning. So I don't know if that's a compliment or just an oversight, but
I think it's probably,
that is how messy this has really gotten.
Well, I think it's a compliment, right? Because you're like, oh, well, they're locked up. They're in the playoffs. And
other people don't worry about other people's teams the way fans of those teams do, though.
Yeah.
You are reasonable. Like, it's very unlikely. The Padres have been getting it done all season. Why wouldn't you if you're just a casual observer of the Padres? Well, they're going to get it done.
They already locked it up. They're in the playoffs.
They do this. They've done it all year. Why is it going to change instantly in the last five games of the season that you just don't think that way? But you think that way when you're kind of a nervous fan of a team.
Yeah, Jordan, and the so far so good. I mean, obviously you lock it up in Dodger Stadium on one of the coolest plays you'll ever see, and then you go out and you drop the next two games. And listen, knowing that you wrapped it up gives you a little bit of a sense. You always want to beat the teams that you don't like and don't like you, certainly. But, you do get the sense maybe these teams run into each other again, and in a long series, who knows what can happen. I wanted to ask you, though, about a couple of topics today. Number one, did I see this stat right? And again, I'm not trying to rub it in here. I'm a Padres fan. There's no way I could rub it into anyone. Did the Mariners have 96 quality starts this season? Was that the number I saw?
So I believe the final number was like 92.
92.
This is
still
something
very
I have.
Good. It's very good.
I have tracked this pretty closely, and the reason I have is I actually just wrote this week about Cleveland and Tanner Bibee, and I promise this is related. So stick with me here for a second. But Cleveland, of course, a team that has, run away with what turned out to be, is it really the best division of baseball? I don't know, but you can make an argument, right? They had four teams still pushing for a postseason spot. We know what happened with Minnesota. Cleveland and Milwaukee finished 28th and 29th in quality starts this season, and they are both comfortable division champs.
That's unreal.
The Mariners, I think, had 10 more quality starts than any other team, and led baseball in ERA. and they got eliminated on an off day.
That old baseball axiom at play. Yes. Starting pitching really isn't that important.
Yeah, right. Starting pitching wins championships is what I've always been told. It's such a I don't know if you know or follow Dave Softy Mahler, who's a radio host in Seattle, and he's a legend. We've had him on many times. His Twitter yesterday was like must read. And you know, he basically was like, this is the biggest failure in Mariners history.
Can you ever see yourself tweeting about the Padres the way he tweets about the Mariners?
I've said some things that have made them mad, I'm sure, but that
he
was
does it on the regular.
On the reg. That was that yeah. That's gotta hurt. That's gotta sting so bad again when it's easier to make the playoffs than ever. And you got that, you have those aces, and you feel like all we gotta do is get there and we're gonna be fine. Nobody's hitting these guys. Yeah. It's just brutal, man. Brutal.
Yeah. I don't know if it's better or worse that they've had one of the best offenses in baseball in September.
It's probably worse.
Like, does that make it, like, honestly, as someone who cares about this team, I was like, can you just roll over and be done? Like, I thought they were heading towards what would have been a fifth time being eliminated in the final weekend in the last 10 years. And instead, they got eliminated on Thursday, which is not much better. So I guess it technically doesn't count. But I mean, yeah, this is but it just speaks to, you know, what happened in the middle of the summer and how bad the offense got. You know, you still look at the names and it doesn't totally make sense as to how bad it got so fast and how they were able to, you know, lose the division lead that they had. But that's what happened. And they are one of several teams. I think there are some parallels with Minnesota as they were eliminated yesterday, just in terms of a franchise that had been looking to finally take a step forward, the Twins and their playoff drought last year. And it's like, wow, what a good feeling. What's to come next year? Yeah. And I mean, their collapse was, I mean, you could argue whether it's worse than Seattle's or not, but it was much later. Now, Seattle's was gradual. Minnesota had 90-something% playoff odds a couple weeks ago.
Well, they're out now. So
technically, they're still alive. Their elimination number
still alive.
Is one.
They need to sweep,
and they need one of the two teams to get swept ahead of them, I believe.
Yes, which seems unlikely, but hey, White Sox are hot, so we'll see. But yeah, that's so they are essentially toast, and you know, we don't have to do the full, you know, eulogy on the Twins, but I think both of those teams are in situations where you look at the rosters and you're like, all right, there's some good things happening here, but sometimes that makes fans even more frustrated than the teams that are nowhere near it.
Talking to Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue, and I'll have to say, personally, it was almost hard for me to watch the A's game yesterday and the celebrations around it, because it was just so familiar. The A's and the Chargers, about the same amount of time in their cities, 56, 57 years.
It was tough.
In San Diego and in Oakland. And I remember the pain a little too recently of the Chargers leaving. Now, we didn't have a last game. I mean, we had the thought that it could be the last game, but they hadn't officially announced it until after they played the last game. They just
we
up
had
and
the
left.
One that it really felt like it, and
we
then
did.
They actually came back and played
and
one
then they
more
played
season,
another year.
And nobody cared at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, and no one cared, but so it was a little different scenario, but just watching it was, to me, it was gut-wrenching. It was gut-wrenching seeing those fans there.
The little kid crying, dude, got me, man.
Yeah, like I showed that on TV.
12-year-old kid, just
the signs, the pain of it all. Your just thoughts on what went down yesterday and the whole tawdry situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a memorable day for all the wrong reasons, but also obviously a lot of things that are heartening and inspiring and cool about that fan base. But it's the reason why we spent the first 20 minutes of our show this morning talking about it, you know, instead of all the postseason stuff, because it is so significant. Two things that you hit on there that I think are important, and we mentioned this on the pod we recorded this morning. The first is, this is not to downplay the pain of any city losing any team, right? But it's not an insignificant point that this is the last team standing in Oakland, right? That they've already lost two others recently and have had to say goodbye to those other teams. That just made it all the more painful, right? And again, it doesn't make it losing the Chargers hurt any less, but you know, you still got this fun baseball team that is almost the antithesis of the A's experience when we talk about ownership and investment and you know, fan response and all those things. But the other thing, you know, that you just said was is in terms of the kids, right? Interesting dynamic here, because so much of the memories and the talk about the, you know, responding to this is the older generations who have grown up going to these games. But then you think about as you mentioned, the 10-year-olds who are there crying, who have maybe also been growing up going to these games for just a short amount of time, and they're just watching something that they won't ever get to experience like their parents or their grandparents did. And so that's a whole other level of difficult thing to kind of swallow, that is there's just so many different generations that are impacted by it. So, I'm obviously with you guys. It was very difficult to watch. And as someone who is very disconnected, who's only been to the Coliseum once and can't even pretend to understand what it's like to be from Oakland, it was still pretty powerful to me, too.
Talking to our pal Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue, and I was just thinking about it all day yesterday. It takes a special person to put your head down and plow through all of the hate. And I don't mean a special person like in a good way. Like, you have to be borderline sociopathic to be like, yeah, I know literally everyone hates me.
And ice cold.
Just the cold. And I realize you got to make business decisions in your life. We've all had to make business decisions. They're not always easy. But nothing like that, where you draw the ire.
I disagree, though. I think it's more oblivious. You just have to be completely oblivious.
How can you be an owner of a team and be oblivious to reality?
Because you didn't make your own money. You inherited it. You didn't do anything to get it. You never lived a real life. And you're oblivious. You're just oblivious.
Wow. I land somewhere in between you two, because I think Ben's point is spot on, that like, if people like that often don't have the perspective, but the intentionality to avoid,
yes,
the degree to which to avoid people talking. I mean, this was true for years before all of this started to crumble, let alone what has happened over the last couple of years. That's what is truly upsetting. And I wouldn't say makes it notably different. There are definitely other owners in the league who are not investing in their team, who are also very quick to kind of hide behind a lot. I mean, again, we don't have to start naming names. They're not the only one, but obviously in this case, it is a pretty special level of special, as you said, in the worst way possible, level of greed and intense commitment to just plowing ahead. Which, by the way, guys, plowing ahead to what?
There are
still so many unanswered questions about what is happening next. And that is where, when the dust settles and when the tears have been wiped and we're just like, okay, we've said goodbye, we're still looking around like, are we really about to play in Sacramento for 3 years? Like, I don't know. Would we be shocked if they have? You just mentioned, oh, they still ended up playing another game in San Diego of the Chargers. Would we be stunned if the A's play another game in the Coliseum? I won't. Like, I really, and it's no inside information, but just like understanding the reporting around what's going on in Sacramento and how many hurdles they still have to clear there, let alone when anything would be ready in Las Vegas. That's the other really difficult part, is just how messy it could get moving forward, let alone how bad it's already been.
Just another feather in the cap for Rob Manfred's tenure. It's just been,
it's like high diving into a pool that they're still filling, and like, you're hoping that by the time you land, there'll be water in it.
That's the thing.
Exactly, like, right.
I mean, again, this would all be painful enough if they had a brand new stadium ready in Las Vegas for opening day 2025, right? But with multiple years of unknowns ahead of us, that's what is even more insulting, I think, about the just plow, as you mentioned, plowing through to make sure something happens that we don't even know what it is.
Terrible, man.
I will add, our boss Adam in the chat says, there's no way John Fisher's oblivious to how everyone feels. Oh, he hears the hate. He sees it. But what he thinks is, he thinks that the people who matter, like the other owners, think he's really savvy and smart and he's taking advantage of a great business opportunity. And the people that matter really respect him. They don't. That's what he's oblivious to. They don't. They're just not going to put up a fight because they don't want another owner to stop them from doing whatever they wanted to do. So they're not going to stop that owner from doing what he wants to do.
Probably thinks they're going to move to Vegas, have a waiting list for season tickets.
Yeah. And that's where he's oblivious. Just like when the Chargers moved and thought, oh, we're going to be beloved in Los Angeles. And that was never the case, and it never has been the case.
I get mad when some guy with the handle of like Mike 4976000 4976 is mean to me. You know what I mean? I can't imagine an entire city. If you walk out on the street, like, I will kill you. Like, it's gnarly. Like,
I turn on TV, Jeff Passan is just annihilating you.
I would be like, I'd be living in a shack in Montana or something. It's just nuts. And it's just,
well, and he has been hiding. Again, we don't see a lot of it. But to your point, I think that's the other thing about it that's hard to wrap your mind around is that statement that he puts out earlier this week. And it's like, who is this for? Are you really thinking that people are reading this statement that says we tried and being like,
okay, yeah, we'll give you a pass. You're right.
All right, I'll stop being angry. It's just like, I don't, that last ditch effort, that last ditch kind of show of an ounce of shame, which is really what I read that statement as, is like at least a modicum of feeling like, probably made some people pretty upset here. But we're way too far past the point of return for a million.
And the, you know, the fans are the ones that pay the price. Yeah. As usual. So, dude, thank you so much. Sorry about your M's. You know, it happens. We know it all too well here in San Diego. But, you know, listen, set up nicely for next year. A lot of these guys coming back. So you get some bats and change the narrative up there in Seattle a little bit. But I know you guys are going to be on everything going on in the playoffs. So we really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Always fun, guys.
Thanks, talk to you soon.
Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue, our weekly segment brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue in North Park, Flint Springs, and at the ballpark. Try the brisket. It is absolutely amazing. And I feel some empathy for the people who had to work it all through that season.
Oh, dude. You know. Mark Kotzes of the world.
Yeah, like players, broadcasters.
Our beloved Jessica Kleinschmidt, Dallas Braden, Jenny Kavnar. These are all people we know.
If you really want to be hardcore, you should go, well, they should all just quit in protest and show that they're not on board with this. They shouldn't work for the A's. It's not that simple.
You wouldn't do it if you had a family to support. You know, everyone loves to take that moral high ground until, hey, I got mouths to feed, too.
The scoreboard operator, the grounds crew.
Oh, the grounds crew.
The grounds crew guy has been there for like 31 years was like being consoled on the field as he prepped the field for the last time out of a job. It's so painful. So painful.
Yeah, it was tough.
Way too raw still.
I love.
After what? Was it 7 years since the Chargers have left? Still painful for me.
I love Kotze. I thought, what a perfect man for the job. His players, by the way, adore him. They adore him. It'd be nice to see another team come in and take him away so that he does not have to go manage in Sacramento next year and the years beyond that. Now, I think if it was Vegas, you're like, all right, it's coming next year. I can handle this. And we'll, you know, new team, new stadium, and we'll do it. But 3 more years of basically purgatory until something may not happen in Las Vegas, he doesn't deserve that.
We still have some audio if you want to play from Dallas Braden.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Which was good from yesterday. So get to that. And the Padres going on the offensive for Jackson Merrill when we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam. It was nice that the Oakland A's got to win that last game for the fans, 3-2 over the Texas Rangers yesterday. Very impressed that the crowd was sold out. Again, it's distasteful, though, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, the thank you, Oakland, you know, streaming on the ribbon signs. Well, if you really wanted to thank Oakland, you know what you could do? Don't move the team.
Keep them there.
Don't act like you're appreciating your fans while you're stabbing them in the back with your other hand. The whole thing to me was distasteful. And
it always is.
I didn't like it.
It always is.
Other
it's
than
never
some,
clean.
A couple of really great moments yesterday. Mark Kotze and his wife Jamie walking out to center field one last time where, you know, Mark played for the A's out there and just, you know, having that moment. And I saw that moment on social media. And I thought the broadcasters, Woods, did the best that they could given the circumstances.
All year. I talked to Jessica Kleinschmidt a couple months ago. I did a little hit for her talking about Padres and you know, asked, you know, talked to her kind of off the record, not off the record, but off the air about how difficult has it been. She's like, it's been very, very difficult. You know, you hear what everyone's saying, and but you want a job. You know, you want to keep a job and you want to pay your bills, and this is your life's passion. And I don't fault Dallas Braden, Jenny Kavnar, Jessica Kleinschmidt, Mark Kotze, any of the players, they're just out there doing their jobs every day. It falls on a couple of different people. It falls on John Fisher, and it ultimately falls on Rob Manfred, you know, and his desire to please every owner, even when there's no plan in place. If there's a plan in place, we're talking about a different story altogether. Still, not a great story. Not a great story at all. But if there's a, Rob, look, I've got financing for this stadium. We're breaking ground. We got construction. I've got season tickets already ready to go, blah, blah, blah. There's none of that.
From what I've understood, it would be pretty easy. There would be buyers for the team that want to keep the team in Oakland and would likely be able to find a stadium solution that are not named John Fisher. The problem is that no owner in sports, unless there's a giant scandal like Donald Sterling, no owner ever wants to force out another owner. You know why?
It happened to you.
They don't want it to happen to them. So, you know, they will turn their backs on the fans in order to make sure that they're never the next guy in the crosshairs. If we do it to you, well, then it could happen to me. So they never say, you're out. But would it be better for baseball if John Fisher was out? Of course.
Bob Nutting, yes.
It would be
Dick
better
Manfart, yes.
If they were out. But they're never going to just say, you have to sell your team, because that then opens them up to someone else saying, well, you know what? I don't like the way you've been running your team. You have to sell your team. So it never goes down that road. But that would be the easy solution. Make him sell the team to someone who cares and wants to keep the team in Oakland.
It's like anything, man. I would have a hard time spending that much money on something that I didn't love, you know, that I wasn't committed to loving, committed to. Like, if I'm spending that much money on a baseball team, that's my team, and I'm going to break my back and my neck to make sure we win, you know, at taking money out of my pocket, absolutely. Like, I want to win. That's what you're in that game for. And once you're in it to just make money, that's where you lose it a little bit. But I just think, you know, there are certain people that are meant to be owners and certain people that aren't. But it's not like you can vet them and be like, how much do you really desire winning? It just, listen, there's a part of me that also sees when teams make decisions and you go, I don't like it, but I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. You know, cutting this guy or whatever. Like, you have to make business decisions as well. It's not an easy thing to do, being the owner of a team, certainly, but just don't know how you lay your head down at night going, yeah, just rip the soul out of an entire city and in a sport that they love.
You know, and Peter Seidler, of course, did it so well.
Yeah.
It is not easy, though, because he took on a lot of risk. If the fans didn't show up, if the team, you know, didn't have a nice, you know, 20 and then 2022, would have gone pretty poorly, you know, overall. But, you know, it's worked out really well. But there are risks that are involved. Now, has, like, Dallas Braden, is he going to go to Sacramento? Have they said what they're going to do, like, some of these people with the team and the A's?
I
got to wonder a lot of times. I mean, very similar to what happened here. Are broadcasters for the Chargers going to move up there?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, are you a San Diego Charger or are you a Charger?
Right.
Is Dallas Braden an Oakland A
or is he an A? Right.
And it's tough.
Change a team. You should change the name.
Well, they're just going to be the A's.
The A. Well, you should change that.
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, like they did with the Browns.
Yeah, be the Grizzly Bears or something.
You know,
like, just
save the name for the city. If there ever is an expansion team
and
comes back, they can come back as the A's. Just like the Browns came back as the Browns. Chargers' name should have been left here.
Yeah.
But you know, 100%. They don't even want to make the owner leave the name. They're, not only will they not make him sell, they won't even make him leave the name in Oakland. That's how little they want to upset the apple cart with their
Vegas
fellow owners.
Blackjacks.
Yeah, something.
I know you
dice.
Wanted to play some of Dallas's comments.
Yeah, play some of this from yesterday.
From yesterday.
My oldest daughter read Goodnight, Oakland. To our family. She started to cry. And she started to ask, does that mean Sissy doesn't get to go to the Coliseum? I said, no, sweetheart. Sissy's been to the Coliseum. And we get to take her one more time. She asked, Daddy, one more time? Does that mean no more? And we haven't gotten there yet.
This is the lasting image that I think a lot are going to take from this place, your girls included. You've got to soak up one last game today, and that's this crowd, this sold-out, passionate crowd.
Amazing, man. Absolutely amazing. You know the Goodnight books? Goodnight, Moon. We've got all the...
Oh, my parents read them to me many times when I was little.
Goodnight, Ben.
Goodnight, Stars.
So sweet.
Good night, clock.
I'm going to do Chat GPT and see if they'll write a Good Night, Ben and Woods book for us, and then we can read it to our kids. And you guys, tier ones, you can read it to your children. Good night, Ben and Woods. With Ben in his kerchief and Woods in his cap.
That's
Christmas
song.
Christmas thing.
All right, I still want to get to Jackson Merrill. There does seem to be a troubling late push again toward Paul Skenes on the Rookie of the Year, and the Padres are pushing back. Get to that and a Rindle report, some headlines coming up before Trevor Hoffman joins us at the top of the hour. Do not go anywhere. The Hall of Fame closer joining Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In the great big studio where the radio hums, there's Ben with his laughter and Woods with the drums. Good night, bright microphones. Good night, comfy chairs. Good night, all the listeners who send in their prayers. Good night, baseball season with players and games. Good night, home runs soaring and cheers that we claim. Good night, little bobbleheads on the shelves up high. Good night, all the stories that make our hearts fly. Good night, clever banter and jokes that we share. Good night, inside secrets and the fun that we dare. Good night, sunny mornings with coffee in hand. Good night, sweet reflections on life's wild demand. Good night, clever callers with thoughts of their own. Good night, every whisper in our radio home. Good night, Ben and Woods, as the evening drifts by. Good night to the laughter under the soft sky. Good night, dear listeners, with dreams but bright and bold. We'll see you tomorrow, Monday, for Stories Retold. Sleepy? You sleepy? You sleepy? Night-night, Ben. Night-night.
You're good at that. I was thinking...
You've had more recent practice.
I would have the better... Good night, Ben and Woods' voice.
Why did you think that?
Well, you just kind of got that.
Because you're a massive egomaniac.
You're better than I thought. I mean, normally people say you've got a really nice voice, Ben.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Okay.
But you did a really nice job.
I read a lot of bedtime stories.
You wrote all of that.
That didn't suck nearly as bad as I assumed it was going to with you reading it.
It's always like he's like the Dave Roberts in here. He's like, well, I mean, they didn't beat us; we beat ourselves. I mean, it's just can never just say that was really good, man.
I told you, I was impressed. I bet your kids fall asleep without any problems every single night.
Most of the time they do. But yeah, we read every night. So it's fun now because my 6-year-old is actually reading, and that's actually the fun part. He reads to me, which is way better. But yeah, good night, Ben and Woods. We can put it in the merch store if you want.
Saw someone in our chat who said, well, with Jackson Merrill slumping and Paul Skenes continuing on a roll, has the tide shifted back? I didn't notice a Jackson Merrill slump. I mean, he went 0-for yesterday, but he scorched the ball. I mean, he's still Jackson Merrill. He's hitting 290-something. I mean, the numbers are still there.
Yeah,
correct?
I saw the same comment, and I go, have I been watching? I mean, he's not Shohei right now, but nobody is. And I'm looking at his game logs, two hits, one hit, two hits. He's, you know, whatever. I don't see a rise is slumping.
I did click on The Athletic this morning. Jason Stark had all his award winners. He picked Skenes over Merrill. Now, he doesn't have a Rookie of the Year vote. He has a Cy Young vote, I believe, but... It seems like I've seen a couple of Skenes over Merrill picks recently. It's going to be close. And with that in mind, the Padres went on the offensive yesterday. Social media sending out like email blasts across to media across the country, basically pitching Jackson Merrill for Rookie of the Year. Like, this is when the baseball writers will cast their votes this weekend.
When will we know the results?
Not until after the season's over. But it'll be done. You can't change your vote after this weekend. They will send them in by Sunday night, and they will have decided who the Rookie of the Year is. So they sent out an email yesterday pointing out that entering today, Jackson Merrill's 5.1 F-WAR ranks 20th in the majors, leads all Major League rookies ahead of Paul Skenes, 4.2 F-WAR, that ranks 35th in the majors, second among rookies. Merrill leads all MLB rookies in games played, average, home runs, RBI, slugging, OPS, total bases, total hits, and extra base hits. He also ranks in the 90th plus percentile in several advanced metrics league-wide, including XBA, X-Slug, XWOBA, fielding outs above average, and arm strength. He has played 156 games after yesterday.
God,
Paul Skenes has played 22. It's not necessarily Paul Skenes' fault. He's a pitcher. That's what he's supposed to do. He wasn't called up until May. I still think you have to give it to Jackson Merrill, but people are starting to slide back into the Skeens camp. And I think it's going to be incredibly close when the final vote's in.
I do, too. And he's nasty, but I really don't care. I don't care.
I only care because I want the Padres to get that draft pick. And that's probably why they're going on the offensive, by the way. You know, AJ Preller, hey, we get a draft pick. Hey, PR department, can you do whatever you can to sway the voters at the last minute? Because we want that additional compensatory pick at the end of the first round. Pirates don't get it. They didn't bring Skeens up at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Padres would get it if Jackson Merrill wins Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Just want to win playoff games. That's what I want. And Jackson does, too, so I'm good with it. He deserves it. He plays so many games. He's just a he's been indispensable for this team. Like, him last night, there was a moment, David Peralta thinks that it's a foul ball down the line when he's running first to third, and there was time was called, thank God, but he started to, like, run back to first.
Yeah, it was a ground rule double, so
Time was called. So he starts to run back to first. Jackson Merrill, 21-year-old rookie, is looking at 36-year-old David Peralta, pointing at his head. Use your head. Hey, smarten up, bud. Giving him the freight train. Use your head. It's amazing. It's amazing what he's done. I think he's energized everybody in that clubhouse, and he's a leader on that team. No question about it. It's partly his team. I mean, if he talks, those guys are going to listen because he does it the right way every single day, and he's out there every single day. He's learning from veterans how to post every single day, take care of his body every single day, make adjustments on the fly. He's elite. Paul Skeens is also very elite. Paul Skeens will be watching. I love Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens will be watching the playoffs with his very attractive girlfriend in Cabo San Lucas. Jackson Merrill will be playing in the playoffs. I think you have to take that into account.
I agree. All right, Trevor Hoffman coming up in 15 minutes. Let's go. Between now and then, we turn things over to Paulie right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Good morning.
Morning.
There was football on last night.
Oh, there was.
I watched a little bit.
Did you guys watch any?
A touch.
It wasn't a great game.
Giants hosting the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I missed all of that game.
I had the Cowboys minus 5.5, and they won by
20-15.
Won by 5. Missed a field goal there.
I got some ESPN fantasy sports notifications on my phone because it's CeeDee Lamb playing.
CD's noticed who was taking on each other in the fantasy league this week.
Who is it?
You and you.
Oh, it's me v. you?
And the Rally Roaches against the Dorcher Chamber.
The Dorcher Chamber.
I am going up against my nemesis, Derek Togerson, this week. So. I had Dak yesterday. He was okay. I mean,
nobody
two touchdowns.
No one cares at all. Not even slightly.
Not even when you two are playing each other in fantasy? No, you don't even realize it? Did you neither of you know who you were playing?
I had no idea.
Wow. You really take this not that seriously.
Correct.
Told you I wouldn't.
Fair enough. You did. You were transparent about that.
So, yeah. Thursday Night Football. There's your...
Cowboys won.
I think, Benny, speaking of football, 9 o'clock hour, you're going to give us a... Ben's ultimate Saturday
Indeed
viewing
I will.
Schedule.
Indeed, I will. Get you ready for tomorrow before the Padres game. Lots of college football watching to be done.
Beautiful.
Some really good games tomorrow, actually.
All right, I got two more stories, and I had Woods in mind for both of them, actually. So we will start with NBA Media Day.
Oh, my favorite. I didn't miss it.
How come we're not broadcasting live from NBA Media Day as we traditionally do?
What team would we do?
Well, they can't just do a generic NBA Media Day for everybody.
Every team has their own Media Day. Yeah, it's not like...
Not like at a convention.
It's not like Mountain West Media Day in Vegas, the whole NBA. Yeah, no, they don't do it like that. No, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I just got some funny audio. So Nikola Jokic, the Joker, maybe the best player in the NBA, certainly a top three. He's also very funny. He has done... We've played clips in the past. He's like, I don't want to go to parade. I just want to go home and be
home. Yeah, he just wants to be home with his horses.
He's a funny guy. And there was a very funny moment when he took the podium yesterday. He was not thrilled to be there in the slightest.
Nikola, welcome back. First and foremost, this is your, now your 10th media day of your career. It's 10 is it's a round number. What do you remember about maybe your first or second media day coming around here? Just has anything changed at all?
No, every year is the same thing, and I don't know why we're doing it every year. Everything is the same, completely the same thing. So,
has maybe your
Nikola, one thing that has changed on media day, you have a very strong beard or
goatee.
I was wondering if you're planning on keeping that, and do you like the menacing look?
I need more compliments, Marlon. More compliments.
To scare the opposition.
Yes, that's changed, yeah. But it's going to go probably away pretty soon.
That's changed, but it's probably going to go away.
That's basically Nikola's version of, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
They would find me if I didn't come.
He's the Stephen Woods in the NBA.
He really is. I'm here at the round table today so that I don't get fined.
We've done 15 of them. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
But he's not like a dislikable fellow.
No, he's super likable.
He's super likable.
He just doesn't want to do the eyewash, the stupid stuff. He's like, why are we doing this?
Guy just wanted to. He just wants to play basketball. I just want to do this show. That's it. I just want to do radio with you guys. That's it.
And finally, I guess it's been reported. I think we talked about this.
We did
a few weeks ago. Lana Del Rey, Woodsy's beloved.
I'm sick.
She. There were reports that she was dating. Just a regular Joe, just some regular guy.
Probably he's like an alligator tour guide.
Yeah, and I saw
from Louisiana.
Was it real? The texts that were going around of a girl that was like, "This is how I found out my dad is dating Lana Del Rey."
I think so.
She's like, "Dad, is that you in this picture?" He's like, "Oh yeah,
yeah." She was. She went to Louisiana, and they went on like an alligator tour, and she found the guy charming or whatever, and he doesn't look like the type to be dating a young ingenue, you know, a very sexy, breathy little angel like her, and he got her.
They're married.
They got married. Yeah. Reportedly. So there was the report that she was dating him, and then that was like cold water was thrown on it, and then they found out that they got a marriage license, and then there's a picture of her dad walking her down the aisle. And I'm sitting here, and I used to tell Hannah all the time, I could get her. I swear I could get her.
Jeremy Dufresne. She's 39.
Jeremy Dufresne.
He's 49. So 10 years apart. And, they were married.
Man, good for him.
According to this report, they exchanged vows in, I don't know how to say, De Alamandes, Louisiana, of course.
De Alamandes.
Alamandes.
I have no idea.
Thursday. Documented in photographs and video obtained by the Daily Mail.
I had a friend that texted me once. Says, Lana Del Rey is down here at like the saloon in Encinitas. And I was married. And I said, I would like to go down there. And I said, absolutely not. I think she knew somewhere.
She knew you had a shot, actually.
If this guy had a shot, I feel like all of us had a shot.
Says they met in 2019 when he gave her and her friends a tour, an alligator swamp tour.
He's like the Cajun guy. Like, he probably talks in that, like, Cajun. Yeah, now, come on now. You know? She's like, oh, I'm all the way in.
Did he make her some gumbo?
It's just insane.
The key to her heart?
I think
something?
It's the good, a good, you know, a good, it's a good rule of thumb.
Don't ever
count yourself out.
She goes on red carpets, award shows.
Yes, super famous.
Like, huge superstar.
This guy's down there
and she falls
alligator wrestling.
And this is why that guy from Victorville continues to shoot his shot. He may be the next Mr. Del Rey.
Jeremy, what is it, Dufresne?
Yeah, Dufresne.
Just killed me, man.
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday. I go, I'm heartbroken.
I'm also
very happy for
him. When the reports first started coming out a few weeks ago, I was like, there's got to be more.
There's got to be
Somebody is pulling something quick here. And then, they are... They are married.
Married.
Good for him.
Good for him. As long as she's happy. That's all I really care about. That's all I've ever really cared about is her happiness.
tour guide, like alligator tour guide.
Yes, like in the swamps,
like the Jungle Cruise at Disney.
No, like in the swamps of Louisiana.
Yes,
it's very bizarre.
Man, dude.
Yeah.
It really kind of ruined my day yesterday. And then you had the Dodger game on, and I was like, this is just really a crap day for your old pal Woods in here. But I wish her happiness and looking forward to her next album.
You know, something that always makes us all a little happier? Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, always. Love him so much.
He's a shot of energy to start our final hour of the week. The Hall of Famer will be with us. We can talk about the Padres bullpen, the playoffs upcoming, everything that's going on with Trevor in place of Mike Schilt, who will be on later. We'll give you all the details of that coming up. Just don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.